lot of times we wonder, do folks know everything that we go through? And the truth of the matter is we don't. And sometimes people say, well, I know what you're going through. And they may earnestly try to have compassion or empathy. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know what you have hurt with and what you've gone through. And so as a Christian, I think it's meritorious for us to, with the mercies of the Lord, consider being compassionate and loving to others with what they go through in their life. You know what the moral of the story is for my wife in these car wrecks and all is? It's simply this. Don't get in the car and let her drive. Amen. And so, God is good and merciful. And boy, I tell you, you know, as you get older, everything starts creaking anyway, and let alone having all this other stuff going on with you. Take your Bibles with me tonight, if you would. Thank you, Dr. Gray, for having us here with you this evening. We appreciate your church, and we're an extended arm of you. When you put that trust in us to get those Bibles to various missionaries, if there's an area of my life that I know that I failed as a pastor in the 24 years that I got to be a pastor, was that I was very diligent in sending our missionaries money. I was very prayerful for them. I was very concerned always with their ministry. But at times, it was for me, it was almost like out of sight, out of mind. And I did not recognize the great ministry of maybe helping that missionary have that very other means of help that he could get from the churches, because the government's not going to give it to the missionaries, and Fox News is not going to give it to the missionaries, and it's not going to come as an act of benevolence from just anybody out of the blue. The same churches that God depends on putting the missionary on the mission field, if we are aware of our missionaries having great needs, then we need to try to help meet those needs. And by the way, if you do have missionaries down the road that they have need for the printing of the Word of God, by all means, contact me or the Victory Baptist Press. And if we can, we will involve ourselves in helping you and that missionary out. And again, we work through the churches. It's not about us. It's about the churches and the missionaries. I want to preach a message to you tonight for just a few minutes that I was looking, and I've only preached it twice ever. And, you know, a lot of times a guy said to me the other day, you know, you traveling preachers, you only have to have one message all the time. And you go in, you just preach that sugar stick, and that's about it. And I suppose that could be so. But I, as a Christian, I want to grow, and I want my studies to be fresh and all. And so I've been studying on something, and I pulled this old message that I had back from years ago. And I shot my wife today. I said, I'm going to preach a different message tonight. And, oh, wow. So anyway, here we go. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 47, verse number 6. Oh, thou, where's my water at? I'm going to know it. I know I'm going to need that water before I get through here. My wife done stole my water. All right. Jeremiah chapter 47, verse 6. Oh, thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest, and be still. How shall it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ascalon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. I want to draw your attention to that little phrase in verse number 6 tonight, the sword of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for a good day. Lord, helping us to get down through that crazy traffic from Flagstaff today and good services there. And to know in our hearts we were coming tonight to a church of like precious faith as we are, and to be around good people. And I just pray tonight we'd all get something from the Word of God. Even refresh my heart, Lord, as I say these things. And I do know I've set where these folk are set. And sometime if the preacher goes too long, it don't make any sense, because we just need to be refreshed. So help us now, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, all walks of life, basically they have instruments of their work. You know, instruments are necessary for different crafts or different trades that are done. For instance, a doctor may use a stethoscope, a builder, you know, all these use a lot of things, but may use a hammer. A mechanic, he uses his tools. A surgeon may use a scaffold. And so does the servant of the Lord. And I'm referring mainly to us as God's servants that's been called in churches to do something, as well as the missionaries that are on the mission field. There's other places in the Bible that the Bible, the Word of God, is referred to different things. There's places that it's referred to as being that of like fire or that of like a hammer. In James 1, that of a mirror. Mark 4, that of a being like a seed. 1 Peter and Ephesians, that of it being like that of water. Over in Psalms, it's likened unto a lamp. It's likened unto honey. It's likened unto bread in various places of the Bible. But tonight I want to draw your attention to one of my favorites, and God lists it in the Bible as one that's important, and that is Scripture is referred to as the sword of the Lord. And tonight I want to remind us that the sword of the Lord is clearly God's Word. Now, how do we know that? Well, the best dictionary on the Bible is clearly the Bible. And to take other scriptures to reinforce our doctrine or our truth or our principles that we summate and seek to try to live by, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 1, he said, "These things saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges." In Revelation chapter number 2, and John said, "And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." When we're told in Ephesians 6 about putting on the armor of God, we're told that the armor, one piece of it, is the sword of the Spirit. And here's what he says, which is the Word of God. So when this Old Testament analogy is given to us here, he's talking about the sword of the Lord. And I do believe he's referring to the Word of God. Now, not necessarily a physical one, though Jeremiah had seen swords, and Israel had certainly known about the effects of having to do battle and coming under the sword. And God said through Isaiah, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword." And they understood that the sword was a very powerful thing, much like in our society today. You know, you can deter a lot of things with a gun in your hand. And so it was in those days. Everybody understood. The prophets that preached it and thundered to the nations, they understood the power of a sword in a man's hand. We're told at the end of the tribulation in Revelation chapter 19, when the Lord comes back to the earth at Armageddon, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." And when I talk about the sword of the Lord being God's word, that's why I hold in regard such a high respect for my Bible. I think about, where would I be without the Bible? I think about what all this book has done for me in my life, in saving me and keeping my marriage intact and helping me to raise my children and to live my life. I have a love for the Bible. I have an appreciation for the Word of God. I reverence the Scripture. I don't make my Bible an idol of any sort. But sometimes, being overwhelmed with the love I have for the Bible and tears in my eyes, I find myself embracing it and even maybe sometimes kissing it, because it's so precious to me, and I hope it is to you too, as well as a Christian. And thus we are to have a devotion to the Word of God. And as believers, we're told to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, then I think good people who are saved and understand the teachings of the Bible, they know that the sword of the Lord is clearly God's Word. And, "O thou sword of the Lord," he said here, as if to say, we love it and we praise you for it. And think again about the privilege that you have to have the Bible. And we are living in a day and age which we, and what we do with Victory Baptist Press, we often come across people and hear stories of individuals that have never even looked at a page of Scripture. And that's hard for me to wrap my mind around when I've got them downloaded on my phone, and I can buy one at Sam's, or I can buy one at Walmart and various places. But there are honestly people in this world that have never heard of Jesus Christ, and they've never seen a Bible, what it's all about. But God wants us to seek to put into their hands and into their life His Word, which is called the sword of the Lord. Now, the second thing I want you to know here tonight is that the sword of the Lord is clearly God's weapon. In verse number 7, he says, how can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge? Now, in this chapter here, it's almost like Jeremiah is having a dialogue between him and the sword. And, of course, we know that inanimate objects don't have life. But the sword of the Lord, God's word, does have life. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. And he's having a dialogue with the sword of the Lord, and he says, how can it be quiet, seeing that the Lord hath given it? And the truth of the matter is, the Bible cannot be quiet. It can speak. And the Lord's put a charge in it. You know, if our phone runs down, we do what? We charge it up. If a battery's not working, we give it a charge. Well, the Lord has given the Bible, His Word, an eternal charge. This book will never lose its power. This book will never change. It never deviates. It's the same book. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor one tittle shall pass from this law till all of it be fulfilled. And with that being said, it being God's weapon, you've heard the verse before from Hebrews 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, the Bible teaches us that the sword of the Lord is clearly God's weapon, and I say to you, it is a quickening weapon. You see, the word of God is quick and powerful. What is that? It's a quickening weapon that God uses. Understand, the Bible that you hold tonight has the breath of God upon it. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed of God. God said in Isaiah, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. How do we deal with the forces of evil that we're dealing with in this day and age? May I say to you, with the quickening weapon called the Word of God? How do we deal with an age of apostasy and demonism that seems to be rampant? Do we build more armaments? Do we go for more government? Do we legislate more treaties? Do we educate more? Do we feed the poor more? Do we clothe more? Do we offer more welfare? And can I say those things I mentioned in the right place with the right balance may have a proper place of nobility. We understand that. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is, there's power. And God's word is a weapon that is a quickening agent. He's not given us a dull weapon that was once good in days gone by. He's given us a weapon that is good to fight sin. It's good to deal with lethargy inside the church. It's good to deal with carnality and worldliness and the flesh and the devil. And you only have to read one chapter, really, of the Bible in Matthew chapter 4 and realize that when Jesus did the battle with Satan over and over, he kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Because it is important that we know God has given to us a weapon to deal with the battles that we fight. And it's quick. I know a lot of the other versions you may get, they may use the word and don't use the word quick. They may say it's alive. And I do believe that my Bible is alive. In fact, you know, I only have to take this big old black thing right here and put it under my arms, and I can walk down the middle of your mall and it'll part like the Red Sea. People don't want to get around this thing. People don't want to get near this thing no more than a thief wants to find a policeman because they know what this book is going to do. I was talking to a lady on our plane the other day. We was flying up. My wife got up to go to the restroom, and the lady was on the end there by me, and she said, I've been talking to my wife, and she said, so what is your business? What do you do? And I said, ma'am, I am a preacher of the gospel, and we are missionaries. And boy, that dead look suddenly came in her eyes. It's like, oh my, I'm sitting by a real one. This is scaring me to death. And, you know, if that can happen with a human being, think about how quickening the Bible can be. You know, sometimes you may be clipping that fingernail and all feels good, but you get down into that quick and all of a sudden you're just like, whoa, man, that got in the quick. And the Bible has the ability to get into the quickening area of the soul and of the spirit and to work to change a life. We have been given a quickening weapon called the Word of God. We've also been given a powerful weapon. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And this Bible of which I'm preaching from tonight, it explodes. It has power in it. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And that's why often when I preach, I'll flop my Bible up like that, because I want all young people and everybody to know that I'm not up there reading out of a Reader's Digest. I'm not up there reading from the Inquirer. I'm reading from something that in days of the past, most men that walked into a pulpit would take with them, and that is the Word of God, because they knew it was powerful enough to make a difference. You know, I don't have one bit of ability in me with flowery words of man's wisdom to change your life whatsoever. But the Bible does. It's a powerful, powerful book. I remember back in 1981 when I first got saved, I saw this right off the bat. For those of you that don't know, I was saved in 1981 in Memphis, Tennessee. I was a rock and roll DJ. I was into drugs real bad. I was dealing drugs, long hair, just a messed up life of cocaine and stuff. I came from a good home, but I basically said, Mom and Dad, you're crazy. And I went out and got into a lot of stuff. Well, I got saved in Memphis, Tennessee in 1981. And boy, when God saved me, He turned me wrong side out and created a new person in me. My sister came to hear me the first time I preached, and somebody said, what do you think about your brother preaching? She said, well, I can tell you one thing. That's my brother's body up there, but that ain't the brother I've always known in my life. Yeah, see, so I had a guy that was mentoring me by the name of Gary Stafford. And one day we was going across Memphis to go visit somebody, and we went through back in those days, we didn't even call it this, but what we refer to today as the hood. It was a very bad area in Memphis. It was known as the Jeter High School area. And there was these two basketball courts out there, and I would venture to say there was probably 50 to 75 black guys out there playing basketball on the two ends of this court and all. And we're driving down the road, and I'm talking to Mr. Stafford about how the Lord has so changed my life and how I'm just thrilled about the future, what's going on. And all of a sudden, he pulled into that parking lot, drove over the curve, drove down to those courts, and drove out in the middle of those courts with me and him in the car. And I was like, oh my soul, what is he doing? And he gets out, and by that time they're beginning to curse us and to yell at us. And I'm thinking, man, what have you brought us into? And I get out of the car, and he said, now wait, let me tell you something. I want to introduce you to somebody. I'm thinking, what is he doing? He said, I want to introduce you to Tony Smith. And I'm thinking, me, what are you going to do? And he said, he just became a Christian recently and got saved. And he said, Brother Tony wants to tell you about how to be saved. And I knew the Bible, what it said about how to be saved. He said, Brother Tony, jump up on the hood of my car. And all these guys came around, and they were mad because we had the audacity to come up into their court and do what we were doing. And man, I felt honestly like it was do or die as a preacher. Honestly, I knew I had to deliver the goods or else we might not get out of there alive. And I stood up on that hood of that car. And I began to tell about the drug habits that I had and the sin that I had been involved with. And I began to tell them about getting under the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. And began to tell them about how Christ died on the cross for our sins and bore my sin debt and was buried. And on the third day, up from the grave, he arose. And man, the more I said something about it, the bolder I got. And I just started looking at them eye to eye, a mano to a mano. And it was like, you guys do not intimidate me a bit. And honestly, God was giving me a boldness that I did not know could exist. It was a power that was not of me nor of this world. And I looked at them and I gave them about 5 minutes or so of the gospel, how to be saved. And I said, now listen, every one of you guys probably standing right here in front of me just like I was. You know that you're on your way to hell. Because you're a bunch of, and I looked at them and said, you're a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners that need to be born again. I didn't have any tact to me as a young preacher. Well, you don't need tact when you're in that kind of situation. You need to tell the gospel and hope that God protects you, you know. And I said, bless God, by the way, while I'm preaching at every one of you, if you mean business right here in front of all your peers, I'm fixing to bow my head and I'm going to lead in a prayer. And if you're serious, don't give me none of that junk, fellas, that we always do. We try to lie to people. I don't hear none of your lies. Man, I was being bold. I said, I'm going to bow my head, and if you mean business with Jesus Christ, right here in front of everybody, you'll get on your knees with me, and you'll ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And I stepped off that hood, and I knelt down there, and I began to pray. But you know what I was doing? I was also peeking to make sure nobody's going to get me. And I began to pray, and that day, 18 of those men knelt down and received Christ as their Savior. And as a young kid preacher, I began my journey of recognizing that I have a book that is not of this earth, that is supernatural, that has a power that God can use to do things that I never dreamed if I will just use it to be exposed to the souls and spirits of men. Years ago, a man went to see an African prince, went to visit Queen Victoria to know the secret of England's greatness. And Queen Victoria presented him with a beautiful bound copy of the Word of God. And he was surprised. Well, what is this? She said, this is the secret to England's greatness. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? This book is the secret to America's greatness. And it's a secret to your home being a great home. And your church being a great church. What you do with this Bible will determine what God does with you. And thus, I believe it's so important for her to recognize if we've been blessed with this powerful book like we have, why not get this book out to the masses? You see, the Bible tells me in Psalms, the sword of the Lord or the word of the Lord is powerful. The word of the Lord is upon the waters. The word of the Lord is full of majesty. The word of the Lord is that which I'm preaching from. It has the ability to do things you and I never dreamed. In the Old Testament, there was once a king by the name of Jehudi. He was reading the scripture one night and he came across a place in the Bible. He didn't like what he said. And he tore out the page and he threw it into the fire. He thought, well, I got rid of that, burned it up. But little did he know that God had the originals and God had the Word of God, and he gave it to the prophet again and was able to come back forward again and to preach the Word of God. And I've found, and I believe in our society today, when men quit believing the Bible, they want to get rid of it or they want to change it. And the truth of the matter is, I pray that our Baptist churches never, until the Lord tarries, never fail to recognize that which saved you and I is important that our missionaries have. Now, I don't know you or anything about your life, but I do know this. If you say to me tonight, Brother Smith, I'm a Christian. I have been saved. Well, can I tell you again to remind you how you got saved? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're a Christian, God used His Word to get you saved. I'm assured of that. Of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth, James 1:17. This word that God's given to us is powerful to cause people to want to be saved. It's powerful enough to cause the carnal-minded person to say, I think I want to do what the Bible tells me to do. It's powerful enough to cause a Christian that is down in the mully grubs or down and out and depressed to hear that Christ is coming again and that Jesus does love you and He's with you wherever you go in your life. It can take that same word and with His power speak to your heart in a way that I could never say to your heart, hey, cheer up, things are going to get better. He has a way of powerfully doing something for you. So I say to you, the sword of the Lord is God's weapon. Lastly tonight, could I say that the sword of the Lord is God's instrument of work? And I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself, but if God's work is ever going to have anything that it does for men, women, boys, and girls around the world, guess what God's going to use? He's going to use His Word. And I promise you this, I never dreamed 6 years ago the things the devil would try to use to thwart the printing of God's Word. I've known what it means to fight battles and to deal with Satan trying to hinder the work of God. But you just bear in mind and think about when it comes to printing the Word of God, the battles that Satan masks to try to stop that printing. And when I come into a church and begin to talk about the Bible and the need to have paper and the need for people to get involved, I know there's times that the devil goes about and he says to some people, gets them to start thinking about food or their work or something else. And they hear Brother Smith up there talking, and it's like he's up there going, wah, 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 wah. And they don't hear a word you're saying. But boy, you get up there sometimes, though, and there are those that are listening. And they're hearing clearly. They're listening beyond all the noises of this world and all the junk the devil has to throw at us. And they're hearing. God wants to use His people. And He wants to use them to be involved in getting His word into the hands of His ministers so it could be used. Well, could you imagine having the Harvest Baptist Church and not having a Bible? And you could not bring one, and no one had one. I ran into a missionary in Houston, Texas, a couple years ago, and he said to me, Brother Smith, I'm in Brazil, and I preach to Portuguese-speaking people. He says, I have 40 people in our church, and he said, I have one Bible for our whole congregation, and it's mine. And I tear the pages out, and I let my people take it home, and they'll write it, and they'll bring it back to me, and our whole congregation lives on that one Bible. He said, can y'all print the Portuguese scriptures for us? Brother Fuller was with me at the time, and he knows more than I'll ever know, and he knew the story of the Portuguese translation of scripture. And he told the young missionary, he said, there's one translation in the Portuguese, now you bear this in mind, one translation of the Portuguese scriptures available. And listen, this is what really bothered me. It is owned by the Trinitarian Bible Society. And they will not, because it's copyrighted, they will not let anybody print it unless you pay them an astronomical amount to print those scriptures one time to dispense them. Let me tell you something, brethren. That's not in the plan of God. God desires for everybody to be able to hear His word. And God wants His word to be gotten out. He wants us to be involved with it. And when the word of God is preached or taught or whatever it is, God uses it to confirm the messenger. The preacher can stand up and start to preach, and God can say to that Christian who's listening, this is the real deal you're listening to. Listen to what he's got to say, because he's telling you what the word of God says. Over in the Old Testament, when Samuel stood up to preach, the Bible says when he preached, God thundered from the heaven. That was a picture of what happens when a man of God or a teacher or somebody stands to teach or preach the word of God. They preach and God confirms it from heaven and says, this is the real thing. You need to be listening to the message and the messenger and what is being said. And friend, I want to tell you, we've got a Bible that confirms it is from God. It cuts the heart. It cuts between the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Sometimes as a pastor, I remember people used to say to me, oh boy, you stepped on my toes today, Brother Smith. Truth of the matter is, I didn't step on anybody's toes. The Word of God is what cuts. The Word of God is what reaches down in the soul of a man or the spirit of an individual and shows them they're not right or they need to do something or whatever as He talks to them about things that's going on in their life. I believe the Word of God is so powerful enough, I could stand here and preach on one subject and the Holy Spirit of God could take God's Word and over on one side of the room say something to one person and on the other side of the room say something to someone else. He can use His Word and diversify it in various ways. The God of heaven is a powerful God. And He's got an awesome word. And His Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. And He knows the condition of every one of our hearts. And He walks up and down the aisles of the churches. And sometime He'll say to somebody, you know, that preacher's preaching to you, but you need to get saved. And somebody might not be saved. And they recognize, I need to be saved. Or may walk up to somebody else. The Holy Spirit will say, you know, that preacher's preaching about giving to your church and supporting your missionaries and all. And you know you've not been doing that the way you should have been doing it. Isn't it about time you do what God wants you to do and be faithful in that area of your life? Well, the Holy Spirit can say so many things to our heart. And it'll always line up with His Word. Because God's word, the sword of the Lord, is his instrument for all of his work. Habakkuk said this, when I heard, my belly trembled and my lips quivered. And I remember the night that I got saved. And boy, that preacher was under the spout where the glory comes out. And boy, he had a hold of the truth and he was preaching with a broken heart about how people need to be saved. And boy, as I heard that gospel message, I don't know if my lips quivered or my belly did whatever, but I know something inside of me was reading my mail. And something inside of me was saying, I need the gospel message that he is promoting and that he is giving out. It was cutting me to the heart, showing me that I needed something. And though we come to a church sometimes and the services we're in, we know that everybody may raise their hand and say, yes, I know I'm saved. But you know, you can take and open the Word of God and you begin to preach a subject and teach it. I expect always for God to speak to people's heart if I minister the Word of God. And it also cleanses. It tells us the thoughts and intents of our heart. There's been times I've heard the Word of God preached, and the Lord said to me, you know your motive ain't right about what you're trying to do. Or God may say to me, you know your thoughts ain't right. I may be sitting there smiling at that preacher thinking, he thinks I really do like him. I'm sitting there thinking, I don't like him one bit. I wish he'd just shut his mouth and get on out of here. I don't like the tie he's got on. I don't like the way he's saying that. As a matter of fact, I just don't like him. Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, hey, these are your thoughts. That's stinking thinking. You're not thinking the way you should be thinking. Jesus clearly said, now you're clean through the word which I have, listen, spoken unto you. And when the word of God is preached or taught, God has a way of speaking to different people's hearts and saying, now, won't you get that matter right? Won't you confess your sin? Won't you get right with the Lord and let him clean you up and make everything good? Thomas Jefferson said, I've always said and will always state that the studious perusal of the sacred volume of scriptures will make better citizens, better husbands, and better fathers. And I do believe in our country what we need more than anything is more of getting this word out. And around this world, what we need more than anything is to get this word of God out, because the sword of the Lord is God's instrument of work. There's a phrase over in the book of Judges that is used for Gideon. And the Bible uses it like this. It says, oh, thou sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I got to pondering that. And I got thinking about the sword of the Lord is God's word, but why did he say end of Gideon? Because God was saying to us, Gideon knew the secret to his life and power, and it was the sword of the Lord. Gideon could say, the sword of the Lord is my sword. It's what I use in my life to do my battles and to have my wisdom and to know what I need to do with my life. And certainly I hope that is for you. Years ago I heard the story of a liberal missionary that went to the mission field and to talk to some cannibals and try to set up some cannibals that were now Christians and to set up a ministry. And he was standing there talking to an ex-cannibal chieftain of a tribe. And he says, I see that you natives have been brainwashed with the ridiculous story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all fell for it. I'm so sad that that's that way, but we're here to preach another gospel to you. And that chieftain looked at him and he said, sir, you do know that we were once cannibals, right? And he said, yes, I heard you were. But I've come to help you get beyond this crazy thinking about how Christ and God's word is the answer. And he said, sir, do you see that rock over there, that big, large rock? And he said, yes, I do. He said, we used to take our enemies and we crushed their heads on that rock. And he said, you see that big old pit over there beside it? He said, yeah. He said, once we killed them, that's where we'd take and we'd light a fire and we would cook the people that we had killed and we'd eat them. And sir, I want to tell you something. Had it not been for that missionary giving us the gospel and us being saved, right now, sir, you would be on our supper list for tonight had he not had the strength and power to bring that gospel to us. Never underestimate what God can do with you as a church. if you see the great need to say, we need to help our missionaries and help others have the Word of God. God will bless you in doing it, I promise. Heavenly Father, use what's been said tonight. Thank you for the Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for my friendship with the pastor, Brother Gray, and his family. I pray you'll use this church and use what's been said tonight to let us never forget. And maybe this is just a reminder. This is nothing new. I'm like preaching to the choir. I understand that. But let us realize that we have the very sword of the Lord to dispense your work with, and never underestimate what you can do with it if we'll just use it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor.